But for now, let's go to our scripture reading from the book of Galatians. And we're going to go to Galatians chapter 6. And this morning, I am going to read verses 6 through 10. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. We'll start there and we'll read through verse number 10. I read out of an NASB, New American Standard Bible Translation. Those will be the words that I'll have up here on the screen. Please follow along with me in your Bibles. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. If you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. These are the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes this letter to the people in the churches at Galatia, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to do so. Verse number 6. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. We'll stop there. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we ask a blessing upon this reading here this morning. And we pray, Lord, that the words of your scriptures will teach us and will transform us here this morning in some way to make us more Christ-like. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Today we continue in our expository study of the book of Galatians, and this is message number 45. And I've titled today's message, Let Us Do Good, the exact words that the Apostle Paul uses in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 10. Now this morning I'm going to focus on verses 9 and 10 for my reading here this morning. Although, as you may have noticed, I included verses 6 through 8 in our reading. And we did cover 6 through 8 last week, but I did this because I wanted to include verses 6 through 8 to introduce the context of what verses 9 and 10 are teaching us this morning and what they are not teaching us this morning. Remember, the three biblical rules of scripture interpretation: context, context, and context. Right. There is no doubt that the people in the churches at Galatia wanted to sow financially and support the people who brought the word of God to them. And that is a biblical principle, and we covered that last week. In verses 6 through 8, Paul focuses on the fact that this is commendable to do this, to support these people. But, he says, do not sow financially or otherwise and support those who bring false doctrine. And we know that false doctrine was being brought into the churches at Galatia. And he says this, you will be, if you support these people, you will be just as guilty as they are. Because he repeats this biblical principle, you will reap what you sow. Amen. Very good. But he doesn't want to discourage them from doing good. So he starts off in verses 9 and 10, he starts off by saying this, let us not lose heart in doing good. He wants them to do good. And this morning I want to look briefly at the what, the who, the when, and the why for a Christian to do good. And let's define this doing good, whatever it may be. You'll notice you have four fill-in-the-blanks in your bulletin for the what, the the who, the when, and the why. And we'll get to those here first. First, the what. What is a Christian to do? Well, Paul says this, in doing good, and then he repeats it here, let us do good. Okay, Paul, doing good can be rather generic. What exactly do you mean when you tell us we need to do good? Does Paul have anything specific in mind when he tells us do good? And the answer to that, obviously, is yes, he does. Let's look at the fruit of the Spirit, and let's see if I can do this. The fruit of the Spirit, I don't have my list in front of me. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Very good. Those are the nine. And let's see which one of those he may have in mind for us to do good. Well, there are two fruits or fruit of the Spirit that are often used interchangeably in the Bible. And I want to make sure that we get those two right here this morning. First, which one does he not have in mind? Well, back on August the 8th, I defined all nine of the fruit of the Spirit, and I gave these definitions, and we're going to go back to these. The first one, this is what he did not have in mind. He did not have kindness in mind. How did we define, because it's all about the definition, how did we define kindness? We defined it as that temper or disposition which delights in contributing to the happiness of others, which is exercised cheerfully in gratifying their wishes, supplying their wants, or alleviating their distresses. This cannot be what Paul has in mind when he tells the Galatians and us to do good. Well, why not? It sounds like something we ought to do. Because if we did this, and if the Galatians did this, that means we would contribute to the happiness of others, and others would include false teachers. And we learned last week that we do not sow anything, financial or otherwise, into the ministries of false teachers. We do not want to gratify their wishes, and we do not want to supply their wants. So the word kindness got to be out, at least by its definition. Do good, and here's our fill in the blank, do good to all people does not mean we do everything for everybody or that we give everything to anybody. And again, that would be kindness. Remember, we will reap what we sow. And we sow, and when we sow into a false ministry, that makes us just as guilty as the false teachers. So, let us do good to all people. That's what it says. So, the fruit of kindness cannot be what Paul has in mind when he says this, to be good to all people. So, what does he have in mind? Is there another fruit of the Spirit that he has chosen? Well, he tells us to be good to all people. So probably the fruit of the Spirit that he has in mind is probably what? Goodness. Of course it would be. Goodness. What is goodness? And let's focus on that. Goodness. We defined it this way back on August the 8th. The physical qualities which constitute value, excellence, or perfection. The moral qualities which constitute Christian excellence, moral virtue, or religion. Now let's look at Webster. That's the biblical definition. Let's look at Webster's definition. If somebody does good, use that as a noun, Webster defines it as this: something conforming to the moral order of the universe, praiseworthy character. So the biblical definition and Webster's definition are very similar. So to answer the what question in our bulletin, the good we are to do is to show others by example and instill in others the moral qualities which constitute Christian excellence. In other words, it's the way we act, the way we talk in front of other people. It's not about giving them things, it's about who we are. We don't want to act and speak like a bunch of unsaved pagans when we are around other people, and especially we don't want to act and speak like unsaved pagans when we are around the household of faith, when we are around other believers. So we've identified the what, it's the example that we set. Now let's go to the who. Paul tells us this, to all people and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So who is the Christian supposed to be good towards? Paul tells us that we need to be good to all people, and that would be secondarily, but to be good to other Christians primarily. We don't leave other people out, but we are especially to be good to those who are of the household of faith, to each other. So if the what is to show us by example and instill in others the moral qualities which constitute Christian excellence, then we need, our next fill in the blank, we need to be doing this good in the presence of all people and especially in the presence of other Christians. We need to be who we are in front of everybody. Pretty much that's it. We know how we act and we speak when we're in here, when we're inside this sanctuary here. The question now becomes, how do we act and speak when we are out there in front of the public, in front of unsaved people, in front of people we might not even like? Do these other people know that we are Christians by the way we act and we speak? Let me take that question another further. Do other Christians know that we are Christians by the way that we act and speak when we're in their presence? Christian excellence. We must display that to everyone at all times, especially to each other. Romans 12, verses 10 through 12 says this, and Paul writes this. He says, be devoted to one another, and he's talking about other believers. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Now these next two are more like kindness, contributing to the needs of the saints and practicing hospitality. We can tell from there that these are examples of goodness and a couple examples of kindness towards fellow believers. And when other believers see us doing these things, that can be very encouraging to their walk. And we are to show the true light of our Christian values, our Christian excellence, in the presence of all, and that would include even those false teachers. We need to show our Christian excellence in their presence. So we've defined the what, we've defined the who. Now let's move on to the when. Putting Galatians 9 and 10 back up here again, he says this, if we do not grow weary, and he says this, while we have opportunity. Now there's two different thoughts up here, so let's talk about the second one first. While we have opportunity, what does Paul mean exactly when he says these words? Well, the word opportunity does not mean that occasional moment. Oh, I had an opportunity to speak to her, but I blew it. That's not what it means. When he says opportunity, he's talking about our Christian journey. He's talking about we have the opportunity all the time. As long as we are alive and as long as we are walking this Christian walk, we have the opportunity to display our Christian excellence in front of other people. But he also says this, if we do not grow weary. Well, I will be the first to admit, I'll be the first one to raise my hand that it is difficult to display Christian excellence 24/7. Can I get an amen? Thank you. It's difficult to be what we are called to be all the time. Amen? It is. It's difficult for me to display my Christian excellence in front of unbelievers and people that I strongly disagree with. It is difficult for me to display my Christian excellence in front of other believers sometimes when we disagree on a theological point. And it's even difficult for me to display my Christian excellence, he doesn't have it up here, but when I am alone and all by myself. If we do not grow weary, our third fill in the blank would say this: when our life is the opportunity to do good, the good that he's talking about, displaying our Christian excellence. And we cannot grow weary in doing so. When we don't feel like acting like Christians, and we'll all have those moments in our Christian walk, that's when we need to act like Christians the most. And it's a difficult thing, but that's what we are commanded to do. So we've talked about the what, we've talked about the who, we've talked about the when, and let's get and talk about the why. For in due time we will reap. Well, back in verses 7 and 8, let me put those back up here. Verses 7 and 8, Paul talks about this principle called sowing and reaping. We know that it's a foundational biblical principle. We talked about that last week, and we're all familiar with that. And he says this: when we sow to the Spirit, which is the fruit of the Spirit, when we sow goodness, this fruit, this exact fruit that we're talking about, into the lives of others, it says that we will reap from the Spirit eternal life. So let's put our fourth and final fill in the blank up here. And I'm going to kind of elaborate on this one a little bit. Why do we do this? We sow goodness into others so we can reap the blessings of the Spirit. Now, Paul was pretty specific when he said that we will reap eternal life when we sow in the Spirit. And that is definitely a true statement. But I would like to add to that and say that the Christian will reap blessings when they sow into the Spirit. And what do blessings look like? Well, they come in so many different forms. I'm just going to mention just a couple that come into my mind. They could be financial. We could be blessed financially in some way. It could be the fact that we have good health. That could be a blessing. It could be that we travel these roads day in and day out and we do not have car accidents. They are blessings that we never think about. We made it from point A to point B without having an accident. Or it could be this. It could be that appliance that you have in your house, that refrigerator, that washer, that dryer, that dishwasher, that just keeps on going and it doesn't need replaced. And that is a blessing. Things don't fail and I don't have to fork out $1,000 to buy a new whatever it is that I got to buy. Or one more. Maybe it's those children that we know about. Maybe they're our own children that are making wise decisions. And sometimes we have to scratch our head and say, where did I go right as a parent? And there's many different possibilities. But we sow goodness into others so we can reap the blessings of the Spirit, whatever possibilities they may be. And let's never forget that sowing and reaping are biblical principles. And you will never know if that biblical principle works unless you try it. Sow and see what you reap. But I want to end this morning with one more important biblical truth. And I'm going to put verses 9 and 10 back up here again. And I'm going to underline the in doing good and let us do good. These two verses can be easily misinterpreted. And let me share with you how that can work. We do not want to substitute or interchange the words kindness and goodness here. We now know the difference. But there is something very similar and very dangerous I must bring to light this morning about these two verses. Let me back up here a second. We would agree that Satan has imposed some very big lies on mankind throughout the ages. Amen? Amen. One of the biggest lies he told was back in the garden, and he told Eve, you can be just like God, knowing good from evil, if you would just eat of the forbidden fruit. And then I just kind of imagine Satan going up to Eve and doing one of these. And did God really say? We all know how that story ended, don't we? Yeah, thank you, Adam and Eve. Yeah, we now have all inherited the human condition. But people are still falling for that lie today, that they can be just like God. But I believe the next biggest lie in Satan's toolbox is telling people this, that if they do good things to and for other people, and those are the words that Paul uses, do good, that if you just do good for other people, that your good works will outweigh your bad works and you will have secured a place in heaven based on your good works, Don, your good works, Sue, your good works, Erlene, your good works, Mike. All you got to do is do more good than bad, and you got it. You will reap eternal life. Your salvation, here comes the lie, your salvation depends on your works. And folks, that was me the first 40 years of my life. I believed if this outweighed this, I was going to be okay. And it makes me wonder, how many people can read this text today and say, see, there it is. If I do good, then I am going to reap eternal life. It says that I will reap what I sow, and I am sowing good works into the lives of other people. And the Word of God, the Bible, tells me that I am going to be okay if I just do this. One of the biggest lies Satan has ever imposed on mankind. But we have already defined good in this passage. And it's not so much what we do for others, that would be kindness, as it is who we are and what we are when we exemplify our Christianity, our Christian excellence in the presence of others. And sometimes that means when we are in the presence of others, our Christian excellence means we say nothing. Sometimes it means we just smile at other people. The good that Paul is talking about here, unbelievers cannot demonstrate this good that he's speaking about. Well, why not? John chapter 15, verse 4. Jesus says this, because from apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. You can do nothing. And what Jesus is saying is this, you can do nothing good apart from me. And any good works that an unbeliever thinks that he or she can muster are like filthy rags in the sight of the Lord. They're all fake. They amount to nothing. They don't win salvation. They don't earn salvation. What does Jesus say? Actually, what does Paul write in here? He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. So, this good we are to do is to show others by example and instill in others the moral qualities that we have, which constitute Christian excellence. And only a true Christian can do that. Let's pray.